time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I thank you all for tuning in today and this morning. I hope everybody's getting used to this early start time, and maybe for some of you it's easier. Maybe you can just have it on when you're going around the house in the morning. I'm getting used to it. It's probably not as easy for me, but hey, we can make it work. So at least I've got the rest of the day today. So it's a good way to start the day. And Dar has the day off today. So, or at least the day off the radio show, she's probably doing some type of work. So hopefully she was able to sleep in though. One of the areas of nutrition that I hear a number of questions about and see a great deal of frustration in is how parents should be feeding their children. And for those of you who are parents out there or grandparents, you totally understand, or who have been parents. And I think we all see that children are really starting to struggle more and more just with their health and behavior, you know, or I often see people believing a number of misconceptions too when it comes to feeding their children. And oftentimes I think people think this is a time it doesn't really matter. They're going to grow out of their baby fat, or, you know, they don't really make the connection between the food and how their children are acting, and they have a lot of years to make up for it. So today we really just want to give you some simple things to think about and implement, especially when it comes to how food affects your child's behavior. And kind of zero in on that. And this can apply, again, parents, grandparents, teachers, daycare workers, preschool, anybody who has any type of interaction with kids. And so I have with me a special guest who has been on the show before, Mary Hauge. She is one of our nutrition educators and is a mother of three children, so very experienced in feeding children. And she's got teenagers, so sometimes parents think teenagers are impossible to change their eating, but it's not. And she always has such great suggestions, good personal examples when it really comes to family nutrition. So welcome, Mary. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks, Christina. It's great to be here again. I'm excited to be here today because I really do know, coming from a place where my children were not eating very well and then learning how to fix that through nutrition has just been awesome in our lives. And I do see it's made a huge difference in all three of my kids. Actually started when they were 8, 10, and 12, and they are now almost 12, 14, and 16.
Wow.
So, it's been a few years. And boy, I am so thrilled that I have made the change for them and for our family. And it really is not that difficult.
Right. And you've got some great stories, and we'll definitely use some of your personal examples. And I know that something you like to do, and we'll talk a little bit more, is just helping people make those connections between food and how their children are behaving. And too often, you know, we go through our days without really a thought about how food is affecting us. I know as adults, oftentimes that's something I'm trying to teach my clients to think about that. And also people, I mean, often a light bulb goes on when I say, you know, the same things are happening in your children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see many families in our office with the child or multiple children who really struggle with focus, concentration, learning problems. Can be things like aggression and mood swings, anxiety, depression, anger. The list could go on and on and on. And they're always amazed at what a difference there is in their child when they start to change some of the things that they're eating.
Right. And we know that there's other things that influence behavior, you know, besides what a child is putting in their mouth. But nutrition is a huge, huge piece to how they are behaving on a regular basis and how they're feeling and how they're sleeping.
Yes.
And how they're performing in school and in sports and in life in general.
Right. And sometimes, you know, the sleep is the issue that's causing the behavior problem, but it's the nutrition that's causing the sleep problem.
Right.
So it's all related. And, you know, when it comes to behavior in kids, one of the most important areas of nutrition to look at is blood sugar. And that's someplace I really want us to just focus on and try and keep it simple today and give you lots of suggestions, but really to get you to start really looking at your kids and thinking about how the ups and downs of their blood sugar is creating a problem for them. And often this is a new thought for parents and most likely often a new thought for kids. And depending on their age, you know, you may be able to explain some of it. But like I said, the same thing, the ups and downs of the blood sugar can be happening with the kids. And I know, Mary, you teach a lot of our classes in the Weight and Wellness series, and I think right. you do a good job of explaining how blood sugar affects. So maybe you can
right.
do a little class session here.
Yeah. So we have this great blood sugar chart, and if you've ever yourself experienced a blood sugar high, think about what that feels like to you. It could feel like you're in a vegetative state, like you're just have this blank stare come over you, no energy, maybe lack of focus and concentration. Maybe it's after an afternoon snack of M&Ms and Coke where, you know, you get a temporary high, but then you just get in this state of, oh, now I'm really just, you know, can't really focus.
I like to call it brain fog.
Brain fog, right. And so if you think about how you feel in that state, and then you look at your children and what happens to them when they get a sugar high, it's kind of the same thing. But to them, it could be that they're not able to concentrate in school because of mm-hmm. it. Or, you know, they're not able to listen to you at home, what you're telling them. Or they lack energy to do anything because the focus is gone.
Right. And I was at a birthday party a little while ago, and there's cake served, and it was all homemade, but there were a couple girls who you could tell were very sensitive to sugar because
right.
within about a half an hour for the rest of the party, they were off the wall.
Right.
You know, so if they were in school, there was no way that they would have been able to focus
right.
in.
No, and the other is true with a low blood sugar state.
Right.
That at that point in my body, I get a headache, I get very irritable, I get very shaky. There was one point in my marriage, my husband knew if I got hungry, he better pull over to wherever the closest food source was because my day would literally go downhill from then. I drop very quickly in low blood sugar. And so in raising my children, what I realized is this affects them too.
Mm-hmm.
In my oldest daughter, it was in the form of anxiety, her blood sugar swings. In my middle son, he would lack energy if he did not get the right nutrients in his body to keep his blood sugar balanced. And my youngest daughter was probably the most dramatic of all, tantrums. And I would look at this kid and I'd say, how many times has tantruming got you what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point you think she's just spoiled.
Sure.
When I realized that she gets my low blood sugar drop, the light went on. And I thought, oh, my gosh, she's got my low blood
right.
sugar drop. She needs food.
Right.
And what she needs is protein. She doesn't need a carbohydrate. She needs protein.
Right.
So now when I see her starting to drop, we get protein in her right away. And it has made such a huge difference.
That's
and as
so
a mom,
great.
That whole struggle and power struggle is over.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's great. And I think people sometimes have a hard time believing that that can happen, but we see it all the time people make these changes. And I think a lot of times parents know that, you know, that's not what my kid is like. They don't, you know, when this isn't going on, they're great. It's not like they're, you
right.
know, this even necessarily a strong-willed child who just always wants their way.
Right.
It's their body biochemistry gets out of balance and then things start to snowball from there. And some people are a lot more sensitive than others. Like, you know, I myself would be a little different than Mary. I never had those extreme crashes. But now that I'm more aware, I definitely can feel when my blood sugar is low, and I can maybe kind of zero in on maybe I'm a little bit more irritable or a little tired and have a harder time focusing. So we all, if we really think about it, can see the difference. So why don't we take a couple minutes here and just kind of maybe explain a little bit more step by step what happens, you know, by, you know, if we eat a certain food, what's going on in our body, and then what's kind of the effects throughout the day. So in a lot of our classes, a lot of times when I talk with people, you always got to start with breakfast because it is the most important meal of the day. And I think people just, you know, hear that as a cliche, but it really sets the tone for a person's day. And by not eating breakfast or skipping breakfast, even for kids, you're really setting them up to really struggle the rest of the day. So Mary, I know you're around kids a lot. What are some of the typical things you see kids eat for breakfast?
Well, in you know, having a high schooler, she often gets to school by 7 a.m. and kids are having their breakfast. And a lot of times it's these coffee drinks with a lot of caffeine and a lot of sugar in them. And she says, you know, Mom, my friends that eat these bagels and Pop-Tarts and donuts for breakfast, they have headaches and they have stomach aches and they're crabby a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And And they really have a hard time focusing in school. And I think that's so sad, because starting your morning with some good quality protein would change that for these kids. And it's not that difficult to get in.
No. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about some suggestions. So hang in there. We will tell you what to do. And I know I see that too. My kids are younger, and a lot of times with little kids, it's just, you know, Cheerios or the cereal bars. I know a lot of kids start their day with, or things like toaster strudels and things like that. And definitely they're starting, you know, off, and the mornings aren't very great. Or by the time the afternoon hits, you know, the parents are really having a struggle with behavior issues. So what happens when an adult or a child eats something like that for breakfast, that those foods turn to sugar so quickly in the body, and it raises up their blood sugar. And for children who are more sensitive, that high blood sugar, you know, if they're going to school, is going to send them to school overstimulated. So when they first get to school, it's going to be very difficult for them to settle down into their day, to be able to learn and focus in on things throughout the morning. And what happens is, when your blood sugar goes up high, then we have to put out extra insulin to manage and come against that. So what behaviors do you think teachers start to see once the insulin kicks in and the blood sugar goes the opposite direction after that high sugar breakfast?
Probably the kids are pretty crabby, unfocused, lack energy, can't concentrate, you know, just really does throw off their day. And for the rest of the day, those children are going to crave carbohydrates.
Right.
And that's just going to continue that cycle.
Right.
And that's up and down.
Yeah. And that's when you're going to start to see them acting out to other students, too. They don't have a very high tolerance level. So it's actually time for us to take a break. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we are talking about how food affects your child's behavior. And one of the worst things your child can eat is sugar. And a few years back, the U.S. Department of Agriculture found that teenage boys were ingesting even more than the 149 pounds of sugar per year that most Americans eat. And in more understandable terms, that means that 149 pounds equates to over 10 pounds of sugar per month, 4.5 cups per week, 33 teaspoons per day. And teenage boys are eating more than that. And this seems hard to imagine, but you have to realize that much of the sugar is consumed in a disguised form. So for kids, it's a form of colas, soft drinks, candy bars, preservative packs, snacks, a lot of those prepackaged things that get thrown in lunches, pastas, breads, all the things made with refined flour. So we're going to talk more about how this affects our kids' behavior when we get back and give you suggestions on what to do instead. And if you have questions for us today, please give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Living life out loud. FM 107.1.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Mary Haugie, nutrition educator and mom. I'm here with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. Today we're addressing how food affects your child's behavior. We only have so much time on this radio show, so if you'd like to learn more about how to give your kids good nutrition to balance their moods, increase their energy and focus while preventing weight gain, we have a great one-evening class for you. This April, we will be teaching foods to build happy, focused kids in Stillwater, and then in June, it will be taught in Forest Lake. So check out our website at www.weightandwellness.com for more information, or you can feel free to call our St. Paul office even today at 651-699-3438 for more information.
I suppose now that we have an early show, we better let people know we're not quite open yet.
Until 9 o'clock.
Right, 9 or 9:30, I think, on Saturdays, or 10, it might even be. Well, so we're talking about how food affects behavior, blood sugar especially, and we kind of talked about what happens after breakfast, and we're going to move into lunch. But before we kind of dive back into things, we do have one caller on the line, so I think I'd like to take her question. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for this topic today. I really appreciate all
you're
the
welcome.
Information. I have two questions. I have an 18-month-old daughter, and I'm wondering about a good recommendation for a supplement for her, like a vitamin supplement.
Okay, like a multivitamin?
Yeah, high-quality one.
Okay. We do have
sugar ones.
Yes, exactly. I always encourage parents, read through the ingredients once of some of those multivitamins for kids. We do have one at our store that's a liquid dropper that you can just do the drops, because I'm assuming at this point you probably can't chew. hard pill. I don't know. It kind of depends. So it's up to, recommended for up to 2 years, and it's by Metagenics. I think it's like a micellized children's vitamin.
Okay.
And great. I think that's pretty much the only one that we have for kids that age. You might be able to find something from like a chiropractor or in like a health food co-op. But yeah, you're probably going to want to look for maybe even a high quality liquid at that age.
Okay.
For some, for that age group. And beyond that, we do have some great children's chewable as she gets older for other people out there. So
great. Thank you. And
you're
my,
welcome.
My second question is, when we go to a class every week, every parent needs to bring a store-bought snack.
Okay.
What's a good store-bought snack to bring to a class like that or school or whatever?
Can you bring fruits and veggies or veggies with dip?
It has to be purchased from a store in the box.
In the box.
You know, prepackaged so they can read all the ingredients.
Sure. Now, can you bring things like string cheese?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a great one.
Yeah, I would do string cheese. Usually there's nut issues. I mean, another thing you could do is look, you know, for a carbohydrate is look for a dried fruit that doesn't have, like, the sulfur, the sulfite things added to it where it's just the fruit.
Okay.
And they don't need a lot because that can turn to sugar quickly, but at least it's a fruit. You know, or there are some healthier crackers out there, too. But I would try and get some protein with it.
Yeah.
You know, and string cheese is usually an easy one.
Yeah, that's great. Good idea.
So, and nuts, I would assume you probably can't do.
Yeah, they don't usually.
Usually if there's food sensitive, unless there's no nut allergies and they're old enough to eat them, that sometimes can be something, too, mixed with the dried fruit or raisins or something.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good, great call.
Bye-bye.
All right. So let's kind of talk about, we said, you know, after they eat a high sugar breakfast, the blood sugar drops. So then comes lunch. And, you know, with low blood sugar that kids are experiencing coming into lunch, they're going to want to eat carbohydrates. And if they're at school with the choice, they're going to be looking for things that's going to get that blood sugar up. Or, you know, even elementary kids, if they get a hot lunch, which is pretty heavily laden with carbs, and there's usually not very many good proteins or fats in it, they are probably going to even just go for the carbs. If they bring a lunch from home, they're probably going to start asking for things that are higher in carbohydrates, and they might not even eat the other things in their lunches.
Right. And the thing about school lunch is if they're getting the lunch made at school, it is very heavy on the processed carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So a big part here is to educate your kids,
right?
Because they will become aware of what their body actually needs, how they feel when they eat right, and then they may start choosing to steer away from some of the processed carbs. Encourage them to try to get protein in.
Right.
Even the hamburger patties in a school lunch are decent, decent protein for the kids. The chicken nuggets and things, not so much. If there's a salad bar that has hard-boiled eggs on it, that's a great way to get protein in. Have them go for the fresh fruits and vegetables. Often the canned fruits are pre-sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, and that's just going to further their blood sugar rise for the day. So just educate your children as to what a balance actually means. That's how I started with my kids. And, you know, they will eventually start realizing, oh, my gosh, I do feel better, have more energy and focus. Feel smarter when I eat really well.
Yeah, especially if you're encouraging them to look for those things. And those are things that you can just talk about in casual conversation. And my daughter is six and she's very bright, so I can have very grown-up conversations with her. But even from a young age, we just kind of talk about, you know, good choices and, you know, the healthy fruits and vegetables. And one way, too, sometimes is she loves to be told stories. So when she was a little bit younger, she always wanted me to make up stories. So I would make up the story about this mom and daughter who'd planted this great garden and grew this awesome broccoli. And it was kind of funny, but
only you, Christina.
I know, but she actually, and I talked about eating it with like butter and salt and pepper and cheese. And she's like, oh, that sounds good. And because she had been a little pickier with vegetables and she actually tried it, you know, she was like three. So, you know, obviously a 12-year-old isn't going to quite go for that, but you know, and actually broccoli is like my kid's favorite vegetable. So, you know, whatever it takes, you know, you can try it. So, but, you know, and now I was asking her a question about what I do for work. And she's like, well, you help people learn about good nutrition and how they can eat better to feel better, and making you tell them to make sure they're getting some protein and some healthy fat. And I was just like, wow, you know, she listens. And she doesn't,
she's six.
Yeah. So the more you talk about it and just kind of have fun with it, especially for the younger kids, it can make a difference. Well, we do have another caller on the line, a question about breakfast, so we might as well take it. Hi, Barb. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Say, I have a question about breakfast. What about steel-cut oatmeal? We put some butter in it, or mm-hmm. a high-fiber cereal. Like, many times I'll have All Bran with some almonds in it and soy milk. And I'm thinking I'm keeping my blood sugar down, but am I just fooling myself?
The steel-cut oats can be a great part of a balanced meal. I use those quite a bit. There's also Bob's Red Mill makes some other really nice high-fiber hot cereals that are not very processed. And the reason why we do like the steel-cut oats is because they're the least processed. And I do always make sure it's great. You're putting butter, or I'll have people put nuts or cream on there and maybe some berries to sweeten it so they don't need sugar. But then I always encourage people to make sure they're still getting some protein with that. So like eggs or a healthy turkey sausage that with no nitrates. Mary, maybe you can share about the cold cereal, because I know you buy cereal at your house.
No. And so we have not bought cereal for 5 years for them to consume for breakfast. And people in my classes often are shocked by that, because many kids, that's their standard breakfast. It's easy. It's certainly not cheap. You can get a carton of eggs for cheaper than a big box of sweetened cereal.
Especially with teenage boys, they
right.
eat almost the whole box.
Right, they eat the whole box. But and eggs are going to get you further. So what I did was I removed the cereal immediately when we started this and said, I will make you a breakfast that you enjoy. And what my kids really enjoy is they like a breakfast burrito that has scrambled eggs, some cheese, maybe some shredded potatoes in there. I saute those all in a frying pan and then put them in a small tortilla. That's a great breakfast. Mm-hmm. I make turkey sausages 3 pounds at a time, and I make them into little patties, and I stick them in the freezer, and my teenage daughter grabs 2 of those in the morning, sautes them in some butter, and she will often have a good piece of whole grain toast alongside of that with some butter or peanut butter on it. My son, who's a meat eater, I have kind of one of every topic here, a vegetable eater, a meat eater, and then someone who will eat everything. But my son's a big meat eater. He will often grab a hamburger that we had left over from dinner, mm-hmm. or a chicken leg, or, you know, a nitrate-free bratwurst, or whatever it is. He just really does focus on protein, and that wasn't the case when I was giving them cereal for breakfast 5 years ago. That kid had no energy to do anything. So it has made a huge difference in the way he focuses mm-hmm. through his day.
So even if you're, like, I'm eating high fiber, like All Bran with
right.
soy milk.
It's still cold cereals. I mean, one thing I always tell people is think about what it has to go through to get from that wheat or whatever it grew up out of the ground into whatever shape or it is. You know, so cereal is actually a pretty highly processed food.
Okay.
So it turns to sugar pretty quickly in the body, and it's not very stabilizing. The soy milk gives you a little bit of protein, but not a whole lot. Sometimes when people are making adjustments, I will say, you know, okay, maybe you can have only one serving of cereal, you got to look at the side of the box what a serving is, but make sure you get plenty of fat and plenty of protein with it. And people will sometimes do that once or twice a week, and that's realistic for them. But I encourage people not to make that their everyday thing for breakfast. Okay.
What about peanut butter on whole grain bread?
That would give you a carbohydrate in the bread and the fat in the peanut butter, and you'd still make sure, you just want to make sure you get some protein with it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
good
so
question.
Much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. We need to take a break. So, all right. So we have been talking about the negative effects of processed carbohydrates and sugars and the importance of balancing blood sugar, especially with good proteins and fats. And Dr. Fred Pescatore, he has written a book called Feeding Your Kids Well, says that we are much better off eating protein and fat over sugar or simple carbohydrates for 2 key reasons. First, protein and fat are more satisfying and they satiate the appetite much more efficiently than sugar or simple carbohydrates. And second, if we eat fat and protein and kind of shun and push away the simple carbohydrates and sugars, then our body is going to utilize those fats and proteins for energy, and we're not going to store them for that rainy day that may never come. So for optimal energy, health, metabolism, we want to get that balance. And you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. And if you have questions, give us a call at 651-641-1071. And we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Hi, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Mary Hauge, nutrition educator, here with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. Today we're addressing how food affects your child's behavior. If you're someone who is struggling with just getting started on a healthy diet and dealing with your cravings, or you need some instruction to get your metabolism in gear, then you would benefit a great deal from our Jumpstart Your Metabolism class. On the evening of Monday, March 30th, you can take this class at our White Bear Lake office. To register, call 651-699-3438 today, or you can call the White Bear office on Monday at 651-773-0000.
And I better throw in, I was not realizing earlier that there is somebody at our office at 8 o'clock now since our show moved early. So if you have a question you really want to ask and call or find out about a class during the show, you can call our office in St. Paul, the 699-3438 number, and somebody will be there to answer your questions. So, all right. Well, we were talking about kids and kind of how the day at school can go if they are not getting a healthy breakfast, a healthy lunch. And real quick before we get to a caller, a time that often parents really struggle with is when their kids come home.
Oh.
And if they've not gotten a good breakfast, not gotten a good lunch, when they walk through that door, some children, it's like they're a different person.
Right.
And that's usually, you know, a lot of you parents know they are irritable. They are hard to get to sit down and work on their homework. Some kids have a lot of anger issues mm-hmm. that come out at that time. And again, we know that there are other things in life that affect it. But if they have low blood sugar, those things are going to be just magnified and very difficult for them to overcome. And unfortunately, a lot of times when they get home, they raid the snack drawer. And what are things they're eating?
Yeah, chips, maybe some more of that cereal,
mm-hmm.
Cookies, whatever, candy,
pretzels.
Whatever they can find.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the rest of the evening sometimes is very difficult. So we're going to take some calls, and actually some of these are going to give us some suggestions for food, too, it looks like. So we've got some people on the line. Hi, Janet. Thanks for calling the show. What's your question today?
My grandson is 19.
Uh-huh.
And he has a part-time job and goes to college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very thin.
Okay.
Extremely thin. But his father's thin as well. But now he started to lift weights.
Sure.
And I was wondering if there was a book that you could recommend or some recommendation about how he can get his proper nutrition along with his busy schedule, because a lot of times he's just rushing in, and just like you just mentioned on the radio, you know, run to the drawer and grab some kind of a sweet snack.
Right. I can't think of a book maybe off the top of my head that a 19-year-old, you know, that maybe applies to that type of thing. A lot of times it's usually more for weight loss, but oftentimes I see with young men his age, their metabolism, a lot of them is high if they're working out and active, and they do, they just want to fill up on things, and carbs are an easy thing for them to fill up on. So the first thing I would recommend for him is to get protein in multiple mm-hmm. times throughout the day, you know, at least 5 or 6 ounces at meals, a couple ounces at snacks, especially if he's going to start lifting weights, because he is not going to be able to build good muscle if he doesn't have enough protein in there. And, you know, as I work with people who are having issues with weight gain, a lot of times if they can just eat a better diet, I've seen it with young men, they've been able to gain weight. Sometimes there are digestive issues that need to be looked at because they're just not absorbing nutrients. So if he really starts to, you know, eat more balanced, and even just some suggestions, you might even want to have him, you know, look through some of our old shows, and there probably would be some ones that maybe, I don't know if he would listen to that, but if he's into health now and weightlifting, that would be good. But if it's still not working, he may want to look into digestive health, and, you know, maybe he would come in for an appointment. I've myself, and I know other people, I've worked a lot with, you know, young men who are fit and trying to just be stronger. And so,
mm-hmm. you know, one book that he may, because he's 19, Nutrition Made Simple by Robert Cran is a very Nutrition Made Simple.
Mm-hmm.
The author's name is Robert Cran, C-R-A-Y-H-O-N. One of my favorite nutrition books, just because it's very well written as far as being easy to understand, and it does give you very basic nutrition information.
Yeah, that it's Robert. Would you just spell the last name one more time, please?
C-R-A-Y-H-O-N.
H-O-N. Maybe if he had something, you know, that he could focus on like
yep,
that. Because he always hears us say, well, you need protein, you need protein.
Yeah, but then it would
and
be coming from somebody else.
Protein bar is protein.
Okay, yeah, that's not enough. And Janet, we do need to take a break.
Thanks.
So hopefully you got some tips. If you want, you can feel free to call our office.
All right.
And just so people know, too, that book might be out of print, but you can search online and find used copies. So, you know, ADHD is a behavioral disorder that affects a number of people across this country. And a study done in 2006 by the Journal of Attention Disorders found that ADHD was extremely prevalent in undiagnosed celiac patients. When gluten was removed from their diet, there were significant improvements on behavioral scores. And this study, along with others, are finding and suggesting that children who struggle with ADHD should be tested for gluten sensitivity or try out a gluten-free diet to see if improvements are made. And we do see this a lot. So if you have questions about that or anything else today, or not anything else, but on kids nutrition, you can give us a call here at 651-641-1071. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Mary Haughey, nutrition educator, here with Christina Swagart, licensed nutritionist. Today we're addressing how food affects your child's behavior. If you're someone who really enjoys learning about nutrition, we have a lot of different classes to offer you. You can attend one of our one-evening classes throughout the Twin Cities. Within the next few days, we have nutritional solutions for osteoporosis in Minnetonka, balanced foods for balanced moods in Prescott, Wisconsin, Jumpstart Your Metabolism in Cottage Grove and Columbia Heights. Check out our website at www.weightandwellness.com or call us at 651-699-3438 for more information.
All right, so we're going to try and spend the rest of the show talking about suggestions on and ideas for meals and snacks for kids, young kids, teenagers. And we do have a couple callers, and I think the first question ties right into that. So let's talk to Becky. Hi, Becky. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good. Thanks for calling.
You bet. So I've got a teenager. She's 14.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't eat breakfast. Lord knows what she eats at lunch. And then she comes home and, like, eats a full meal.
Sure.
But she never eats vegetables.
Okay.
The closest I can get is grilled peppers.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a straight. My husband was used to be. That used to be the only vegetable he would eat.
Okay. So, are there solutions?
Yeah. Well, did you have a breakfast skipper?
Oh, well, I had a breakfast girl who would only eat bread for breakfast. So that was her problem. Caused her a lot of anxiety and weight gain. But what she really liked was our protein smoothie. And most kids will eat a frozen protein smoothie,
mm-hmm,
and don't even know that there's any protein in there, and it's a balanced breakfast. So if you go to the website, I believe that recipe is on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically full-fat plain yogurt, some frozen berries, some coconut milk, and then the protein powder, which you want to get a good brand of protein powder. Otherwise, they can taste really bad. But my daughter lived off that and didn't even care to have bread for breakfast for about 2 years. She just
Ooh.
Absolutely loved it. Now what she's hooked on is she seems to go in phases here. Now she really likes these breakfast turkey sausages I make just with ground turkey and a bunch of different seasonings in them. And
that recipe's on our website
yeah,
as well.
And you just you make them up into little patties. You keep them in your freezer, and she herself gets out the frying pan, puts a little butter in it, and sautés them up for breakfast in the morning. And she's good to go, you know, and she just has a glass of water. But I used to be a kid in high school. I didn't eat breakfast either. I ran out the door, and I'm telling you, I ended up with a weight issue. I wish I could go back to my high school years because I think I would have absorbed a lot more information if I would have just eaten something for breakfast. But I remember getting to lunch and eating, you know, cinnamon rolls and whatever else came because I was so starved, you know, by that time. So it's just a trap, and you have to try to get them out of that trap.
Right. And I think helping her understand that she will feel better. She's going to have a healthier metabolism. And yeah, starting with a smoothie is great. And if she needs it a little bit sweeter, sometimes I'll have people put a little bit of agave in there. Bananas and pineapples are a good way to sweeten it, you know, with fruit. And as far as the vegetables, I would just encourage to keep trying. And I find a way that's worked for my husband and my kids is okay. I do a lot of things with the cooked where the vegetables are all in there. I might cut them up really small.
Like a stir fry.
Yeah, stir fry. Sometimes kids are more, you know, teenagers are more willing to eat vegetables if there's other good flavors. So to make them a little interesting instead of just plain old steamed vegetables.
Right.
So hopefully that's helpful and good luck with that. Thanks
not
for
great.
Good
Thanks.
Question. All right. So it looks like we've got Cindy on the phone. Hi, Cindy. What's your
Hi.
Question for us today?
You know, I just have a real quick question. You had said to a caller protein and or peanut butter and toast were fat and carbohydrate, but I thought that if you just put a little peanut butter or almond butter, that would cover the protein part as well. Can you explain that?
Sure. The nut butters and nuts, we usually pretty much consider them a fat just because they're, you know, high in fat, and there's a lot of fiber in there, so sometimes it's difficult to get all the protein out of it, and they're not necessarily a complete protein. Now, when you put it with bread, it probably does make it more complete, but for most people, it's not enough protein, especially to get their day started. You know, sometimes at a snack, if the people are doing apples and peanut butter or something, I might, you know, let them get away with that, but for optimal health, people need a lot more protein than what they're going to get in a nut butter. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. And I think a lot of people wonder that because people always ask that question because oftentimes those do get put as a protein. And there are some protein in nuts, but just not enough for most people. So let's see. Do we have time or do we need to take a break? Okay. We can probably take a break or maybe we can give, why don't I, you know, if we still have like another minute or so, you kind of mentioned some ideas that you do for breakfast. And, you know, you talked about the breakfast burritos are great, protein shakes. Our website does have the smoothie. It does have the turkey sausages. Mm-hmm. And if you go to weightandwellness.com, you click on the radio show, and then there's a link on that page for recipes. So it's kind of hidden in there. And, you know, my kids just love scrambled eggs.
Right,
you know,
mine
and that's
too.
A simple thing to do. I usually put some healthy cheese in there, actually scramble it with a little bit of real organic whipping cream and cook it in some butter. Sometimes I do egg things with vegetables, not every morning, but they always have fruit or, right. And like a whole grain bread or something with some nut butter on it. My kids get a lot of fat. Kids need a lot of fat.
They do.
Because they're growing. And
one question I always pose to my students in class is, who told you that cereal was your only option for breakfast?
Right.
Because people are truly hooked on things that they considered breakfast foods. You can have any food for breakfast. Just fit your protein, carb, and fat requirement in there.
Yep.
And you're good to go.
I've eaten beef stew at breakfast
before. Oh, I've had chili. I've had, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I do love my eggs, though, and those are food we recommend to buy organically. So I think now it's time we can take a break. Just want to throw that in. When we come back, we'll give some more suggestions to kind of close out the show as far as maybe some lunch ideas. And you are listening to the show and Dishing Up Nutrition. You may be feeling a little overwhelmed by changes you feel you need to make in your home. So, you know, we at Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you by giving you the opportunity to sit down with a nutritionist for a one-on-one consult, maybe as a parent or with a teenager so they can hear it from somebody else. Or we do family appointments, too. And often that just even one appointment can help people get off to a good start or for a lot more issues, you know, some ongoing things. So you can do that at any of our offices. We have St. Paul, Wiper Lake, Wayzata. And you can call right now to our St. Paul office for more information at 651-699-3438. And this is Dishing Up Nutrition, and you'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1.
Yeah.
Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Mary Hauge, nutrition educator, here with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. If there is someone you think would love to hear our show, or if you would like to listen again, visit our show page on the FM 107 website this week and listen immediately or download for later. And remember, you can always go to our website at www.weightandwellness.com to visit our show archives.
Yes, it's a great way. I know a lot of people download those things on their iPods and listen to them while they're working out or cleaning or something like that. So, and it's nice because you can hear from all sorts of different people. So, Before we're done here, we just want to give you guys a couple more suggestions, because I know people are always trying to come up with ideas, and lunches often can be a challenging thing. Mm-hmm. And I know, Mary, one thing I know you did, and I don't know if you still do, and I've recommended this to people, you know, the whole school lunch issue. If you can maybe make a compromise with your kids and say, okay, a few days a week, you're going to bring a lunch from home, and once or twice a week, you can choose a hot lunch that you want. Mm-hmm. But maybe we can talk about what are some things that you do for lunches from home for your kids?
Well, my kids actually make their own lunches when they're taking one now, which is very nice.
That's nice.
But yeah. My youngest daughter loves tuna salad. She loves egg salad. She loves leftover chili or soup that I've made the night before. She has even thrown pasta into a heated up thermos. Now, pasta is a high carb, and so whenever I make pasta, it's more of a side dish with a ton of meat in it and vegetables in it, and so she can take it that way. She will make a sandwich. She loves the Applegate Farm turkey pastrami. Does not contain nitrates, so it's a really good, healthy lunch meat for her. She'll throw some tomato and lettuce on there. She likes veggies on the side. She likes green peppers. She likes carrots. She loves radishes. She loves mm-hmm. cherry tomatoes. Those little grape tomatoes are
just easy.
Yeah, fun to pop.
Yep.
So, and then my kids only drink water.
Yeah, that's what I send too.
Yeah, 3 out of the 5 of us do not tolerate dairy very well. And so our main source of liquid is water.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two that can have, they do have a little bit of milk, my husband and my daughter. But yeah, we don't have juice. We don't do sports drinks.
Right.
Yeah,
I know my kids. I have younger children, 2 and 6. And one thing they like to do is we call them like turkey or ham roll-ups. And I'll take the nitrate-free lunch meat and put cream cheese in the middle of it, roll that up, and might send some whole grain like the kashi crackers, and always have some fruit in there. Mm-hmm. My daughter does better with cooked vegetables and raw vegetables, so I will do cucumbers. My son loves, and he's 2 and a half, he loves the cherry tomatoes. He loves mm-hmm. carrots, cucumbers, and he does like to dip them. So I just use like an organic salad dressing. Get those little mini Glad containers, and he just loves to dip that in there. If they want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I think people have to realize often that ends up being a lot of carbs. So I'll take one slice of a whole grain bread. We do mostly almond butter, and just lightly put like an all-natural jelly, or actually I use that agave syrup for honey. But I always make sure that they take an additional protein. Mm-hmm. So I might send a slice of meat with them or some cheese. And somebody called in asking about healthy cheeses. I will buy some more natural, like string cheeses. I encourage people to focus on white cheeses because you stay away from the colorings. If you can, afford to get like more of an raw milk cheese, an organic cheese, that's great. At least, look at the ingredients. Sometimes, I've seen some better ones, even if you can only get to Cub. Like there's some cheeses that come from farms in Wisconsin more natural.
There's kind of a gourmet cheese section by the deli department.
Yep.
So before you get to the dairy department, and they have kind of a round circular area that has tons of really good cheeses. And goat cheese, if you can't tolerate cow's milk, great goat cheeses there as well.
Yes, and you can put that with some fruit. My kids do like nuts. As far as snack things too, mm-hmm. hard-boiled eggs, chicken legs. There is a great recipe on our website too, I'm pretty sure, for a homemade beef jerky.
I've made that one tons.
And kids love that
and
snacks.
Yeah, and I've made that one with salmon as well.
Yeah.
I've done a salmon jerky.
That's a great idea.
I've done turkey and chicken jerky. And great to take along. Easy,
all right. Well, horrible. Hopefully everybody got some great tips, and just want to encourage parents to start to make some changes and do the best they can, and give us a call if you're overwhelmed. And remember that food can be the problem, or real food can be your solution. Have a wonderful day.